Dungeon.
Welcome back to Dungeon Court, everybody. We're back from recess.
Oh, yeah.
I climbed to the top of the jungle gym and I broke my fucking arm.
Oh, dude.
Whoa.
Yeah. It's really gnarly. It's out. Should I go see like the nurse or something?
It was really cool when you got to the top, though. That was rad.
Yeah.
We all thought you were cool until you got hurt.
Second.
Then we ran away.
It was the way you reacted to getting hurt that made us run away.
You started weeping.
Squawk
right
so loudly.
You squawked.
Turns out you can't fly, man.
if you broke your arm,
I think I hurt my wing.
This is a great surprise round question.
Okay, ooh.
Your friend falls, breaks their arm brutally, but keeps squawking and saying, "I think I broke my wing." How do you react?
I think honestly, I'm like, God damn it, why am I friends with comedians?
Yeah.
And then I just assume that they're doing some joke. Just a bit.
Stop doing bits.
Yeah.
I help them and yell at them.
Yeah. Tell me, is this a bit?
Okay, I'm assuming it's a self-soothing bit.
Because if it is, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Anyway, I take him to the vet.
Yeah. With that, let's go ahead and throw to Bailiff Jake.
Hear ye, Crit is back in session.
Yeah.
We're back, baby. Drum, drum.
Drum, drum. The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford Murphy and Squawk presiding.
Squawk well.
And our first case comes from some guy who likes chicken.
Whoa.
They write,
whoa.
To the magnanimous justices, I present the case of the surprise squirrel suit. May it please the court.
Okay.
Whoa, I'm in so far.
I'm playing a campaign as a level 6 warlock who mostly sits back and snipes with Eldritch Blast.
I haven't talked for 2 sessions and no one noticed.
I am a quiet cousin.
I meant to mention this in the last episode, but doesn't quiet cousin sound like one of the gods in Game of Thrones?
Oh, yeah. The mother,
she is
the Smith,
sister
the quiet cousin.
The quiet cousin.
You must pray.
What if they ain't? Well, you always forget about the quiet cousin because he's so damn quiet.
You don't pray to the quiet cousin. The repetitive turns got a bit boring and I wanted to develop the playstyle a bit. So I decided to multi-class into fighter when we next leveled up.
Cool.
Fine. Okay.
I spoke to my DM and he loved the idea, even asking me if there were any bits of loot I wanted to find to complement the new build. I told him I'd love some better armor, since as a warlock, I was extremely squishy and wouldn't last long on the front lines.
Yeah.
I know where this is going. And
wait, really?
Yeah. Do you want me to guess?
Yeah, I guess.
I think that the armor is going to be a squirrel suit.
Oh, duh.
I really hope it is. Go on, Jake.
Yeah,
I can't wait to hear. We did so many bits
that I forgot.
A couple of sessions later, I'm breaking into random rooms at the tavern looking for stuff to steal, and my DM told me I'd found a set of armor that would fit me perfectly. He looked so proud of himself as he described.
Oh, she hit the
Axford was correct.
Yeah.
A full squirrel costume.
What? That's not armor, though.
I mean, I've seen like some of those like fursuits at like conventions, you know, they look pretty sturdy.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah,
true.
I guess,
yeah.
No, that would serve as leather armor for
mascots need some.
I get what everyone's saying, but if I was like, I'm just going to go put on my armor and then I came back out and I had a fursuit on, wouldn't you be like, that's not armor though? That's a bad description.
Some knights have cool like antlered helmets.
Yeah. Dude,
I do agree that while a fursuit would work in some ways that are defensive, just describing it as a suit of armor that would fit you perfectly.
A squirrel suit of armor.
Not. If you said squirrel suit of armor, then
the
I
The suit
agree.
Of armor, yeah, I know, but the squirrel is silent.
A suit of armor?
Like the cousin.
It's a quiet cousin.
Quiet you cousin. Find a suit of armor.
Okay, let's hear the rest of this, because I want to know what's wrong. Yeah. We haven't gotten to anything wrong. Yeah.
He looked so proud of himself as he described a full squirrel costume complete with a giant taxidermied head and tail.
Whoa.
Great, yeah.
He told me this magic item would grant me a climb speed equal to my walking speed. I asked how much AC it gave me, and he said it's just the same as basic leather armor, which Murph mentioned.
This checks out, yeah.
Oh, this is unfortunately buttoned up.
Basic leather armor is already what I have.
Yeah.
As a level 6 genie warlock, I can fly whenever I want to, basically for free. So what the fuck do I need a climb speed for?
Yeah. Yeah.
I raised my concerns after the session, and he told me if I was going to be ungrateful, then he wouldn't give me what I asked for next time.
What is
okay. I understand that deciding what loot to give out is the DM's right, but justices, you must realize that I never asked for a novelty onesie yeah. that provides exactly the same protection as what I'm already wearing. Am I being a spoiled brat, or did my DM go nuts for a bad joke?
That's good.
So
that's
it really seems good. It seems like they're mad that it wasn't an otter suit, because that would have granted swim speed, which would have been nice.
Or just like plate mail.
I have great news. I found this from the homebrew pages, the squirrel folk armor.
Oh,
it's a homebrew. So don't worry, your DM had to make this up. Squirrel folk armor is light armor that has been enchanted to make you lighter and provide a small amount of combat flexibility. While you wear this, your AC is 11 plus your dex modifier.
Okay, yeah.
You
okay.
have a plus one bonus to your AC.
Sure, okay.
Your base climbing speed equals your base movement cool. speed, and you have advantage on dexterity checks to climb.
Great.
And what about a negative 10 to charisma?
Yes. See, I feel like you could have given like some extra bonuses to the squirrel suit, like the ability
didn't
to like
want
bury
a squirrel suit, Caldwell.
Maybe. Wait, I realized what's wrong. The uh-huh. player said, "Why did you call it a squirrel suit? Just say it's a Chip and Dale suit."
Exactly.
Say what it's from that? The Chip and Dale brunch. This is authentic from the Chip and Dale brunch.
Chip and Dale brunch?
I don't
the
know.
Character breakfast at Disney
isn't
World.
That a Disney thing or something?
I think there's like a character breakfast. I don't know that they do brunch with just the
this, this inside
brunch.
Chip and Dale are definitely at the character breakfast, Murph.
I know they're at the character breakfast, but calling it, do we not agree that calling it the Chip and Dale brunch
I don't
is
know.
Funny?
I don't know what's tripping you up here. I don't know what's chipping you up here.
I,
just, all you have
that,
to do, all
I
you have to
that
do.
They're at the character breakfast, okay. But if I was just like the Donald and Goofy lunch, it'd be just a little weird.
If you go to the restaurant, you're like, I'm here to get brunch with Goofy.
Yeah, I'm just here. I'm here to have a late lunch with Donald and Daisy Duck.
Yeah, I'm meeting Jafar for brunch. Yeah. Is he here?
Jafar here for second dinner, or. Or is that just with Huey, Dewey, and Louie?
I like to get cocktails with Moana.
I need a lot of alcohol. Oh, God.
All right. Yeah, clearly you should be able to trade this in,
yeah.
But only for a different animal.
I will it's say, as this was being described, Caldwell had his hands up, like, why would you be upset about this? Because he just loves this idea so much.
I think it's possible that your DM misread you and like thought you would like this. It's possible that there's something coming up that you're gonna need a climb speed for. And it's such an intense fashion statement. I feel like every magic item that you give, you have to be like, if you really want them to use it, you have to be like, plus it morphs into however
it's,
you
yeah.
want.
Right. It's also, it yeah, as the DM, you do, again, as the person that kind of like can decide the fun to a certain extent, it is the difference between like giving a squirrel suit to Caldwell Tanner or yeah. giving a squirrel suit to Jake Hurwitz. One yeah. is going to think it's very fun.
What's up? I can make this
and
work.
And the other one is just like, I kind of don't want Hard One to wear a squirrel suit.
Well, okay.
He will wear it. He will really wear it and be embarrassed by
how
it as
difficult,
a bit.
How difficult is it to carry it? Because it's very funny if it's like, all right, I'll hang on to it. And then you find a situation where you need a climb speed.
That's
and then
funny.
You have to begrudgingly
put on. That is funny, but it doesn't answer.
Yeah, right.
This squirrel suit.
It's not, it's like technically honoring what they had talked about, but it's not because the warlock wanted AC because they're. Yeah.
Right. No, they want it to be in the melee.
But it's so, it is very funny.
Well,
to
you
give
can put
people
armor over the squirrel suit.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's also the description of it being taxidermied is so funny because it's a huge
yeah.
suit, right? It's like
yeah.
a person.
Yeah.
Right, how
yeah.
can it, what, how many squirrels died
well,
to make this?
Because there's giants.
Right, there's no
there's
way.
Lots of giant,
oh, like a dire squirrel,
a dire
sure.
squirrel.
Yeah. Okay. No,
I was just picturing
up.
Someone in like a rainbow wolf fursuit, like rolling into the dragon's lair.
I do have a question, Murph. Does yeah. it specify in D&D if you can layer armor?
I believe you can't. They wouldn't let you do that. Okay. I mean, it would stop you from doing that.
You couldn't wear like five sets of heavy armor and just have like the nastiest AC.
Definitely shit. Not.
We should have gotten some giant armor when we were in the frigid north.
I think, yeah, leather armor and stuff is dependent on you being able to use your dex. And I think if you're over encumbered, you're not going to have high dex.
Yeah,
so yeah, you're screwed. Okay, and you definitely can't just wear double plate.
I knew the answer was no. Yeah. I kind of asked because I assumed it would be funny to hear you respond.
Emily does bring up a good point, though, which is like in Baldur's Gate, there's like an option where you can just turn off how the armor looks. If you're like, I just want like the vanilla look of the character because that's good. Yeah. I do think you should have the option to be like, could I get this as like a magic pendant or something like that?
But they don't even... Squirrel suit was just them getting trolled.
Well, they already have it.
Yeah.
They have a fly speed.
They have a fly speed?
They're a genie. They can fly.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I didn't even think. Okay. Well, now you found it though. You got to hang
on
to it.
Yeah.
Because someone's going to need it at some point.
Yeah. It is true that like, I feel like you've been given this gift and clearly somebody else in your party is the Caldwell Tanner and wants this.
Calling it a gift is a stretch, I think.
Yeah.
I'm kind of wondering if you're... I genuinely wonder if your DM searched stupidest armor, comma, 5e.
Yeah, it's. I think maybe the DM thought that you were going to think it was funny and you kind of were just like, huh, okay. And then it made them upset and self-conscious, but it's definitely like not...
No,
I guess technically the DM can put whatever they want in any of their treasure chests.
Yeah.
But it's pretty clear that they were trying to set this up for you. So they were trolling on purpose.
Yeah. I have an idea. So you wear it, you only half wear it. You're wearing the bottom of it, but it's
why?
It's the top of it is kind of like tied around your waist.
Okay. Yeah,
really big jeans.
Yeah. Right. So that you don't actually look like you're wearing a full squirrel suit.
Mm-hmm. Just half of one.
And then when you're about to get into a fight, then it's so much shorter to put it on. You can kind of use your first turn
to have the same AC.
Yeah.
The same AC and a climbing suit that you don't need.
Really baggy hoodie. Really big jeans. Like a bucket hat.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
So like you just kind of look like maybe you're a squirrel folk or something.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. That's fun.
Or maybe you look like Alvin from Alvin and the Chipmunks because you got like the baggy hoodie on.
Jake's just completely silent because me and Jake just want to look cool.
Jake's quiet cousin.
Can
over
I
there.
Look like Robert Baratheon?
That's the only animal on armor that I could handle.
When he had an elk helm.
I'm just so tickled by this question because it's like crystallized something in my being where I'm like, every one of my characters could rock this world
Yeah,
suit.
You would.
And
I feel
like that's like that's the question I'm going to start with whenever I do character creation now.
Yeah. Could this guy wear a
Could he wear
suit.
A squirrel
Could
suit?
Could he rock
the
squirrel
answer
suit?
Yes.
Always yes. There we go.
Stag is cool. I could do elk and nothing else.
Yeah.
I think I can do anything for one episode.
Here's the thing. You could. I think getting armor is one of the easiest things because literally just everyone you fight has armor on. Like you'll just loot this in a fight.
That's
quick.
A cool idea. Mm-hmm.
Literally, just like what kind of armor is this person wearing? Just
you could
when
also
you're fighting. Yeah.
It might be fun. It might be fun and funny to try to role play trading it.
Re-gifting your armor.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just seems like
but make it like really noble. Be like, I want you to have this squirrel suit.
This was handed down to me.
You put the squirrel suit in their hand and then push their little fingers over it. Like it's
a thousand squirrels
scene.
Died for this so far. That's pretty fine.
I do think if you have like a DM NPC, you could definitely give the squirrel suit to them and make them wear it. So I don't think this is going
that's
to waste.
Really funny.
Yeah. I'm picturing Ken in the squirrel suit. It's very fun.
I mean, I would hang on to that squirrel suit because someday a climbing speed is going to be fun for someone. Someone's going to need it, even if it's like an NPC or something like that.
Yeah.
But you should also get other armor.
I just feel like, I know. I definitely throw goofy shit in all the time, especially we're currently in a Feywild arc. So take everything I say with a grain of salt. I put in lots of goofy shit. But I will say that usually things are funnier when it's just like someone who takes themselves very seriously, just like face plants is much funnier than being like, I'm a little squirrel.
Right.
Like, just being like, silly. I'm silly.
It's a troll gift based on the request, which was, I want to be more involved and feel more activated on my turns.
Yeah.
I want to engage with your game more. I want to be on the front lines.
The DM trolled you on purpose.
Yeah. I mean, I think all of us fully are on your side here. So now we need to punish your DM.
The DM was under
DM
no
DM needs to wear a squirrel suit.
The DM was
DM
under no
needs
obligation
to work a character brunch.
Oh, they have to introduce Chip and Dale brunch.
You have to play your next session at the character brunch.
Yeah.
I've got a very special guest for this arc. Chip and Dale, come on out.
Yeah.
Chip and Dale.
Yeah, just to be clear, the DM was under no obligation to just supply you with like a chest full of armor.
Right.
But it's
right.
very strange to talk about it beforehand, being like, let me get you what you need and then troll you. And then when you're like, huh, really though? They yeah. go, well, if you're not thankful, then I'm not giving you anything. That's right. true. So that's why we're yeah. rolling against the DM. Not because they didn't, you
They
know.
Don't need to give you anything, but they also don't need to give you the squirrel armor.
They don't need to tell you that they're going to give you something and then lie to you.
Yeah.
yeah.
The only way this really works, I think, is if the AC is like 22 on the squirrel armor.
Yeah, if the squirrel armor just absolutely rocks.
Oh my God, that would be so fun.
And if it just looked yeah. like acorns, then it may be
yeah,
cool.
Okay. Right. It should be tough as acorns.
Yeah.
That's a tough nut to crack.
A tough
so
nut to
tough.
Crack.
It's a pretty
go.
Tough yeah. nut to crack, yeah. Yeah. You get 16 AC on there. All right.
I really like it.
Yeah.
We figured it out. I'm seeing acorn epaulets. I'm seeing like almost like a coconut bra, but of acorn.
Beautiful.
Yeah. yeah. Okay.
You have to build your whole character around this now.
Now you look cool, so this isn't a problem anymore.
And like, yeah. Oh, wow. You could just fill the top part with acorns.
Yeah. We have maybe.
We could, yeah.
If you needed yes. to. Yeah.
If you needed to. Yeah.
Right. There's called old trying to make it uncool again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got an acorn bra full of acorns.
A tiny little acorn beanie. Okay. So ordered, our next case comes from Joe L. To the esteemed judges and bailiffs.
That's Joel,
number two.
Actually.
Joel, nice.
Yeah, you mispronounced it.
No, I swear to God, I didn't.
Dude, it's Joel. The name is Joel, dude.
Joel, I don't know why you said Joel.
Okay, Joe L? Come on.
What Joel. Is that? People are also named Joel, but this is Joe Space L.
Can we stop for a second? We need to talk about this, Jake. It's just like, you normally you're good with the pronunciation.
Wait, is
like,
this
that
Joe?
Was kind of a blunder.
Oh, this is interesting because if it's Joe L, mm-hmm. then it's yeah. actually Joel. Mm-hmm. But if it's the name Joel, then you're oh, right, yeah. it's Joel.
Right.
So which one no. is it, Jake?
It is Joe. It is. Technically,
Joe?
It's the one that makes me wrong. It's okay. yeah. yeah, Joe Space okay. L.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I think I'm right, but yeah. it is the way. It's no, definitely the version that you guys
They were yeah. throwing an L on the ends is. There, it capitalized could be, yeah. just to make it look cool.
Yeah, one of Superman's totally. Kryptonian cousins, Joel.
Yeah,
go on. Mm.
Go on.
Okay, I will. I will go on. I wanted to this entire time. To the esteemed judges and the bailiff, Jake number two, I present to you the case of the Salty Shield Spam Bard versus the Deceptive DMPC.
Okay.
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 On a day where I didn't have time to DM a full session, my players asked if we could just run a non-canonical PvP in an arena in two teams.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The PvP.
I said I would be happy to adjudicate rather than use my DMPC, a rogue designed to support the party in combat, but my players said that I should join in.
Okay.
At the end of the PvP, it came down to me versus a bard who I couldn't hit because he kept using shield.
Okay.
Looking to get around this, I had my DMPC walk away 10 feet from the bard, at which point he made an attack of opportunity, which he missed. I then walked back up to him and made my attack, which hit. And when the bard yelled shield, I reminded him that he had already used his reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
My rogue then did enough damage with sneak, rules note, my ally was within 5 feet,
okay.
to yep. kill the bard okay. and win the fight for my team. Judges, I cannot tell you how livid this made my player.
Whoa.
He got so mad that he left the voice chat and didn't come back until the next session,
whoa.
Where he
whoa.
Scolded me for using my knowledge of the game to my advantage.
In a non-canonical PvP?
That's what this what? Is.
Yeah.
I argued it wasn't even my knowledge of the game, but rather my knowledge of him, knowing that he wouldn't be able to pass up an opportunity
true.
Attack even though it wasn't his character's forte.
This is knowledge that you've literally
this is, if somebody got yeah. me with this, I would just fight. Go, oh,
yeah,
nice one. I'd yeah. be like, that's awesome. Yeah. Great fucking move.
No, dude, you're not supposed to use the fucking your knowledge of how the game works to play the game.
You're not supposed to do stuff. We're supposed to just stand there and see if you roll high.
Yeah.
You're supposed to guess, man.
It's also, I would argue that like using an opportunity attack, that's like good D&D knowledge right there. I feel like this
yeah.
wizard was like trying to be clever, being like, opportunity attack. So like you're one-upping them. It's just, that's yeah. fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tete-a-tete. He eventually left the group for other reasons, but
good.
I still often wonder if I meted too hard
no.
even for
no.
a silly non-canon
for sure
fight.
Not.
I humbly await your judgment.
For sure not.
Especially when it comes to PvP, it's not like you're really sitting there role-playing. Literally, you're playing Warhammer, essentially, in that moment. Like, you're metagaming to a certain extent because you're sitting there and you're fighting against other players. You know their characters to a certain extent.
Also, anytime you're playing, like, a character who fights, they are probably learning how to fight and know how to fight and know some of the rules of fighting.
Yeah. Like, within the game... people would know that you can't swing and cast a spell at the same time.
They would have been in enough fights that they would be like, huh, I've noticed.
Yeah, your character would know that to like,
especially a cunning rogue whose like whole thing is like reading people's movements and sneaking up on them.
Yeah.
Right. And this character also knows how the game works.
I feel like I've yet to hear a metagaming complaint that I actually buy.
Yeah, with the exception of people like literally whipping out the book and like looking up character stats. That's the only metagaming.
That would be, but that's different.
Yeah, anything else, I'm like, your players are at your table, they're engaged, they're interested, they're talking strategy. I'm not going to like... get mad.
Don't fault them for paying attention.
Yeah. So the metagaming arguments, typically, I'm going to side with the person who doesn't care.
Let's just go ahead and punish this bard.
Yeah, this is
wild. I think
as
a general rule, anytime you storm off and then later come back and your head's
and you're still mad? You didn't just sleep it off?
Not a good look.
Because it's still wild. Like, I don't, again, I could see something like this happening. Emily getting one over on me like this, and we've heard it on the show. I go like, God damn it, my guy can't use his cool shit.
Yeah,
and then I lose, and that's that's just
I
life.
I would imagine it's a little different because when you're a DM and they get one over on you, it feels so good. So I can imagine it's not precisely like a DM, but I think it's wild. But it's a wild reaction. I can't even justify it to be honest.
Even with like, especially with like PvP and stuff, and doing like. Teams or a free-for-all or something, somebody's going to get like targeted first. There's going to be like three on ones. There's going to be like how are you,
and it's not canonical, it's just it's a goofy thing you did one time.
Yeah,
it's also funny how like metagaming is always like you beat me.
Yeah.
You weaponize knowledge.
Why did you know how to play at me?
That's just a cool, that's just a cool moment.
Yeah, I think that's fun. I think you know, honestly, they've already been punished.
Yeah.
You fucking punished.
But I do think that they should have to do a character brunch for everybody.
Character brunch. Yeah.
Which character should they dress up as? Stitch, maybe?
Oh,
Stitch. They go around and they sort of rattle the table.
Didn't we
realize
Stitch is a Gen X?
Yeah, Gen X.
Gen
Stitch.
X. You have
Gen
to role Stitch. Play as Gen X Stitch.
Yeah, you go around. You have to go around to different tables and talk to the dads about Smashing Pumpkins.
Say, do you remember when you could smoke inside at restaurants?
Yeah. And you know what? I think a lot of the you know, a lot of the parents are millennials now. They're not Gen X.
Yeah,
Gen X has Gen Z kids. They're not, you know. Yeah, wow.
Wow. So
crazy to think about.
Gonna be a tough
so it's going to be tough to be Gen X Stitch.
Right, yeah.
Because the millennials are going to be like, I don't know, I didn't really listen. I mean, I listened to Smashing Pumpkins, but not every millennial did, especially not the younger
ones. So you're
going
to need to look for the older dads with like the teens and college age children.
Yeah. Okay. But they're probably not going to be at the character brunch as much. Wow.
Shit,
And then sort of like, you got to imagine that management is watching this saying like, Gen X Stitch isn't landing with the brunch crowd.
Uh-huh, right.
And so then your job is suddenly precarious.
And Gen X Stitch was such a hit like 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So maybe you switch it up.
Because all the dads were Gen X.
They loved
and you
it.
Could talk
yeah.
to them about the
I could see.
Pumpkins.
I could see this getting frustrating.
Yeah.
And then storming off.
Uh-huh. And then coming back the next day and being like.
And still being mad.
Yeah.
So then you switch it up and you do Boomer Pooh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, Winnie the Pooh. At first I was just like, you shit as a boomer? What? I get it. All right,
you know.
We got there.
Yeah, you're walking around without pants on. You're like, why is everybody so sensitive about this?
Yeah. Boomer Pooh, Gen X Stitch. It's the worst.
Murph, do you want to be this for Halloween this year? I call Gen X Stitch.
What? I want to be Gen X.
You have to be Boomer Pooh.
You got to be Boomer Pooh.
You're Boomer Pooh. Everyone
Boomer
vote right now. If Murph should Murph
what?
Should Murph be? Raise your hand if you think Murph should be Boomer Pooh.
God damn it. There's no video.
Honestly, he already is. There's not a world where he's not Boomer Pooh.
I'm not fucking Boomer Pooh.
You sorry, know man. I have the irreverence and sarcasm to be Gen X.
Yeah, I can be Gen X Pooh. What does Gen X Pooh listen
Raise
to?
Your, okay,
Mud
wait.
Honey? Hello?
Okay. Raise your hand if you think that Murph should be Gen X poo.
It's a weak premise. What about that Mudhoney reference?
I didn't get it.
Mudhoney is.
Raise your hand if you're still feeling boomer poo.
Oh my God. Two hands way up for boomer poo.
Okay. Emily's more of a boomer than me. Emily, you know more about like Led Zeppelin and shit than I do.
Yeah, I think that's actually Gen X too.
Murph, what? No, it's not.
I mean, it could be. I think being into that was their classic rock.
I know. I mean, everybody's into classic rock, various things. Come on now. All right.
Oh, that could be your catchphrase.
Because remember, Gen X Stitch owns a record store, so I actually know a lot of music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Yeah.
God damn, it's buttoned up.
It's buttoned up.
It's unfortunately buttoned up.
Buttoned up, unlike your pants, which you're not wearing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Which are off.
Mm. All right. Oh, bother.
Oh, bother.
Bother. Oh, bother. Why is everybody so sensitive?
I can't even use a plastic straw for my honey.
I'm not allowed to say honey anymore.
You gotta be careful about who you say honey to.
Boomer Poo's mad.
Back in my day, I could say honey to the waitress.
Boomer Poo's so mad. Okay. No, this has legs.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
Boomer Poo has
legs. Boomer Poo has entered the NADPOD universe.
Every time a new shitty character squeezes their way into our terrible universe.
Boomer Poo has entered the voice chat.
It's so fucking stupid because also like, they're both technically owned by Disney, not even really, because now...
Oh, yeah, it's in the public domain now.
Is it? So that means we totally could we do can make Boomer Poo merch.
Technically,
we can make Boomer
Poo merch. Holy shit.
The Boomer Poo bucket hat, it's coming.
Holy shit.
What I was going to say is, it's so fucking stupid because... Pooh has like so many other characters that are like in his world
that are
so
codgers.
To pair Boomer Pooh with Gen X Stitch, it's so fucking arbitrary.
It's so arbitrary.
Yeah.
Oh, just a bunch of heffalumps and wokesels over here, all right?
Yeah, he's afraid of the wokesels. That makes sense.
Okay. I guess let's sentence
Boomer
this.
Poo.
I don't remember who was wrong.
The bard?
Boomer Poo broke my brain.
Let's sentence this bard to buy Boomer Poo merch.
Yeah,
we have to move on.
Needs to work hard and get their own 100-acre forest.
We have to move on. It has too many legs. It's too goddamn good.
It's running away with
Boomer Poo is too good. Okay.
Okay.
Right. Okay. So ordered. Our next case comes from Zach M. Hello, pious justices and honorable bailiff Jark.
Jark is a fun name. That should be your surfing name.
Oh, that's true.
Jark Attack.
Whoa.
Yeah, Jark Attack.
That's really good.
This case lies not during a D&D session, but before.
Oh,
I bring to you the case of the Mike's Harder. My D&D group has been playing for about a year and a half. We play at our DM's house. Okay. We'll go there about 2 hours before a session just to hang out and talk. Usually, one of the players, generally myself or my boyfriend, will decide to get snacks or something to drink to have during our session.
Cool.
One day, my boyfriend stated he wanted to go to the gas station and get an icy. I decided to come with him. Before we left, I asked everyone, including the DM, if they wanted, quote, anything. The DM stated that he was good and didn't want anything. Okay. When I was at the gas station, I walked by a beautiful can of Mike's Harder lemonade, and I decided, spur of the moment, to get one.
Yeah.
I hadn't previously known I wanted alcohol until I saw the luscious can of Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Sure.
Yeah.
When we arrived back at the house, our DM saw the Mike's Harder and was upset. He said, "Is that a Mike's Lemonade?" Which I responded with, "No, a Mike's Harder."
Is this a commercial?
Is this a- Jake, did you see Lily's sponsor? Did you get tricked?
So this is brought to you by Mike's Harder.
Okay.
You have to tell him.
The DM said, awesome move, dude.
I guess I'll go back for
the
some.
The DM was jealous. We all enjoyed a cool, refreshing Mike's Harder.
And everything was perfect.
And we watched Deadpool in theaters.
The DM then said, well, if I knew we were getting alcohol, I would have asked for
that's
some.
That's interesting.
Here's where the case lies, justices. Our DM states that when asked if anyone wanted anything, this did not include alcohol. The other players and myself are on the side that, quote, anything includes anything. We are a very happy D&D family who still razz our DM about this to this day. But should we let this razzing lay to rest? I humbly wait for your judgment.
I think you should elevate it by always bringing Mike's Harder now.
Yeah, I think you should always bring one can. Does it come in
well,
a can?
Now that this is sponsored, yes, of course. Yeah.
You can't drink just
one. I'm gonna give a little, first off, you're right technically. I do though think that, I think you give a little bit of a heads up, like if we're partying. Like, are we partying?
True.
Like, you kind of, like, let me know if we're partying. Maybe I want to party. Maybe
I was so distracted by thinking this was an ad and contemplating if it was secretly an ad that I forgot that it's more like, oh, I didn't know that you were
I'm going to get an icy, and you just assume, and I get it. You shouldn't assume. Mm-hmm. But you assume that everybody's just going and getting snacks and stuff.
Yeah.
Somebody comes back with alcohol. You're like, I didn't know it was that kind of party. Maybe I would have had a beer.
It's true.
Yeah.
If I see someone with a drink, I'm like, oh, are we drinking?
Right.
What's the vibe? You got to do a vibe check on
this. Because that's the vibe. That's the vibe changes, right? Because if somebody comes back, if you guys all go out, right, and you're like, we're going to go get Caldwell and Icy, and then you come back and everybody's got like tall boys, I'm like, ooh, I said I didn't want an Icy. I guess I said I didn't want anything.
Right.
But I think I would be like,
but from the gas station, you don't really think of like the alcohol being there.
You're right, though, that it's like if you all went out to get Icy's and then came back with tall boys, there should be like actually we're picking up tall boys, because it is a change of narrative. It's a change of
vibe.
Tone. It's true.
It's a different.
It's a vibe shift.
You should get a chance in the group chat to text "Let's go" with a lot.
Yeah,
of
you got to hit
and
him with
that means. And that means, do you want anything alcoholic?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That is true, because if someone said, do you want anything, it feels insane. If someone's at a gas station and they said, do you want anything, it would be insane to be like, get me a twisted tea.
Yeah, can you just get...
Yeah, because you're not there. You're not seeing.
Can you get me one huge beer?
But also, like, think of all the friends that you haven't drank with before.
That is right.
Like,
that is
it'd be
ask.
So weird to be like, yeah, dude, get me a twisted tea.
It's staking a claim for
yeah,
sure.
It is.
Is twisted tea an alcoholic drink?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's we're not sponsored by it, though. So just
we're
bring
not
up Mike's
sponsored
Harder.
By
yeah,
right. any
just
of
bring
these.
Up Mike's Hard Lemonade, yeah. which we
I think
are.
Twisted tea is disgusting. I need a Mike's Harder.
No, we're not.
We're only sponsored by Angry Orchard. Not the other ones.
We're not sponsored by any of this. I do think that it is a tough ask, and we got to think about that on the DM, because if you're saying, hey, we're going to get an icy, we might grab some other stuff, we're going.
Yeah.
I might not want to, because that is like, I don't know, you don't want to be the one person that's like, yeah, grab me a six pack, I'm going to sit here and drink by myself.
There's a permission structure with alcohol where you're like, oh, you're going to drink? I'll drink.
Yeah.
And there probably should be, right, because sometimes when people drink, they act a certain way, and it's kind of like, are we all opting in?
Yeah,
to
do we all opt
being
in for
buzzed?
Right.
I really like being the diffuser in this situation. I always roll up with a six pack, and like I put it in the fridge. People can have it if they want. Yeah. I'm probably gonna have a beer too. I'm gonna have a freaking lager if I'm playing some D&D.
Yeah, but that's establishing the vibe.
Yeah,
yeah.
You must be the vibe bringer.
You know what? I think that we can actually rule against the person who submitted, because I think that the fact that you showed up with just one alcoholic drink.
Yeah, it's a vibe tease. It's a vibe tease.
It is a little bit of a vibe
tease. It's a vibe tease.
The thing is, okay, so
it's a twisted vibe tease.
That was obviously a generous read on the DM's part, but at the same time, it is the classic, like, you say you don't
want
it.
Now you're changing your mind?
Well,
Murph, you convinced me to abandon
I'm just having interesting conversations here, okay? I'm saying...
A public forum.
Yeah, I'm trying to defend the DM, saying, like, here's a case for the DM. And now the case against the DM would be saying you don't want anything is... that you don't want anything.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say though that like asking someone else to pick up alcohol, you never know what is their relationship with alcohol.
Yeah.
You can never assume that that's on the table unless you know them.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
I got to say,
Yeah, I don't think that anyone's at fault here, but I do think it is a kindness to, when you're at the gas station, you text a pic of the Mike's heart.
Yeah, and you say, let like, him we're, go.
I'm going hard tonight. Yeah.
You let him know. Right. Yeah.
And then they might say, I don't want Mike's harder. That shit sucks. I hate
Hey, all right, edit this out. Trevor, if you're listening, actually, don't edit it out. Just edit out Emily saying she doesn't
it's
like
it. So sweet that I get a headache from the sugar before I even feel the alcohol.
Give me an angry orchard or
okay,
nothing.
All right, so edit the second part of that out. So she's just saying it's so sweet.
In general, I fucking hate sweet drinks, and I hate the combination of alcohol and sweetness.
Establishing the vibe shift is important.
I think beyond that, it's the awkwardness of it would feel rude to ask someone for alcohol if they didn't
like
offer.
When it seems like when it seems like a nice little trip, people were like, we're gonna go get ice cream.
Yeah.
Does anyone need anything? I wouldn't be like, a beer.
Yeah.
It's
true.
Like,
but if you didn't give the DM a chance. Anything is way too broad.
Yeah.
Way
if people
too
came
broad.
Back with tall boys. And I was like, I thought you were getting candy. I'll get it.
Imagine if you came back with a t-shirt and the DM was just like, I don't know, you're getting t-shirts. Well, I said anything, dude. You could have asked for a t-shirt.
Then I would not be on their side. I would be like, that's wrong.
You show up and you've been to a pet store and you all have geckos now.
I think this is going to be a...
I said anything.
I believe the vibe shift precedent that we are setting here, I think it's going to be controversial.
I think we have to raise a banner.
I'm starting to feel confident in that.
We can offer to relitigate it. You know, like in future submissions, maybe this could come back up. Maybe we could hear from some people if they're like, actually, this is my perspective on the vibe shift.
But I'm gonna say,
I'd be happy to read some public opinion, but I don't think it'll make me change.
I think
someone gets briefed.
Let's establish the vibe shift precedent.
Okay, vibe shift precedent. Yeah.
Anything is not anything. We know this, right?
Yeah.
Do you want anything? You don't assume
that is in the narrow context of this gas station and the icy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's narrow context of the gas station.
I think you got to send the cheeky text. You got to be like, actually, I'm going hard tonight.
And
you,
as social,
I'm plucking from the orchard.
As social cowards ourselves, we know that it's hard to ask for a drink if no one else is drinking.
Yes, we understand.
It makes it vulnerable.
Yeah. You confident people out there might not understand what we're talking about. All right. Yeah, right. we're rolling against vibe shift/social coward.
Okay, so I think that the punishment here.
What was it? What was an unearned razzing? What was the name of the thing we've used in the past?
Oh, wrongful razz.
Wrongful razz. We're establishing a wrongful razz here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a wrongful razz.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a wrongful razz.
You need to go to the gas station and get some fresh, cool, refreshing Mike's Harder lemonade for your DM.
And then you have to bartend in a Chippendale suit.
Ooh. Wait, like a Chip and Dale?
Isn't that
both things?
You're going to be in like a Chippendale Rescue Ranger suit, but it is going to be sexy and you're going to be wearing it the whole time.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm into that.
I was going to say like Dale's nose, but Chip's leather jacket.
Whoa.
That's a good combo. Yeah.
But that's nude the from hottest the waist thing down. I've ever really heard. Good.
It's super
hot. So sexy. So ordered. Our next case comes from
our Chip and Dale Gen Z. Go on.
I will.
Chip and Dale? No way.
They might be boomers.
So boomers.
Dude. What?
They're from forever ago. Are you kidding me?
Ancient?
But I think they're timeless in a way. I think they're always Gen Z.
Oh, well, I guess. No. But they're actually.
Well, Stitch is like 8 or something.
Yeah.
Like,
right, yeah.
Yeah.
The Stitch president.
But like within canon, Stitch is Gen X. We've established.
I think,
because
of
how long
he's
been in the gestation tube.
So that's an interesting, because Stitch does exist in a timeline.
Uh-huh.
In almost like a modern world.
Right.
I don't know anything about Chip and Dale. Do they like live in like a tree, or do they?
I can't believe we're gonna get sidetracked. This is it's insane to me. It's insane. You can say that some cartoons are timeless in their age, and then the others are born when they're drawn.
But in Chippendale in DuckTales 2018, when they reboot it, like, are they like a younger generation? Because they definitely exist.
They'll probably be acting that way, but we see through it. We know that.
Oh, okay.
Like they were incepted.
Is Alvin and the Chipmunks 9? Like,
is it possible that they're part of, is it called the Greater Generation? The Great Generation?
The Greatest Generation.
Is it possible that Chip and Dale are from the Greatest Generation?
Sure.
Did Chip and Dale serve?
Sure.
Did they serve?
They were drafted, yeah. I think that's why Chip knows how to fly.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's answer our question.
Okay, yeah. CPL Thrawn writes, esteemed and revered Supreme Crit Justices and ignoble bailiff, I humbly ask for your ruling on the rejected side quest conclusion. For some background, I have been DMing a campaign for the last 14 years.
Whoa.
Currently, they are level 8. Yeah, so a long-running campaign.
Level 8?
They're level 8.
Whoa.
You are a tease, a twisted tease.
What a grind.
To allow players to try out other builds, we occasionally play little adventures I call jump campaigns.
Ooh.
It's a few adventures we may or may not go back to that's at different levels in different locations in the same world.
Cool.
It's great as it gives the players and myself a mental stimulation and has let me build out the world more.
Great. Oh. I love that.
The incident in question was a one-on-one story I did with one player who happens to be my wife. The story was done over Discord over the course of a month. It helped me understand some of the BBEG strategy more and build out how I wanted interplanar stuff to work. She defeated the villain, and I thanked her and told her that's where we would wrap it up. She responded with a simple no. To keep things short for you, though not me, we are now about 2 years into this campaign.
Whoa!
What?
It's not her only private campaign in the same world, and I'm afraid that running three long-running stories is affecting the quality of each. I do enjoy everything. I just don't want any players to suffer from my growing writer's block for all of these constant adventures.
It's your wife. Can't you just say, hey, I'm feeling creatively tapped?
The answer was no.
Yeah. Happy mean, wife, happy
no
world.
Is a complete sentence.
It's just the wife playing this? It's a one-on-one
just the wife.
Solo?
Okay.
Solo side quest.
Wow. I guess get it all.
Jealous.
You don't solo DM for Emily?
I could.
You go, hey, Jake and Caldwell, do you solo DM for your wives?
Of course, all the time.
Yeah. Really?
I can't get Jill to respond to any of my texts or emails. Yeah.
We have a really advanced role play about like who's going to use the car and like who's picking up the kid and stuff like that.
It takes place in like a world really similar to ours, but like a day forward.
Exactly. Yeah. It's called Google Calendar.
there's definitely a part of this that is very nice. It's very sweet.
Yeah, right. It's really like a compliment.
That
is
like, she loves your story.
Yeah.
But you might have to, if you are feeling, you know, creatively drained by all of this, you probably do have to pull the plug on the one-on-one.
Yeah, one-on-one. For sure.
There's a very real possibility that your wife is doing this to be like nice and kind and positive.
Uh-huh. About, or like, thinks it's like a razzing thing of like, no, we got to keep going with our game, you know?
Also, she's clearly just having fun and that's a compliment in itself and probably wouldn't be insulted. We'll continue having fun in other campaigns.
Yeah.
So I think I don't think that there's going to really be.
Also, you can decide if like playing D&D together is something that's fun for you all to do one on one. You can do something where your wife DMs it if you're feeling drained, or you can do something where maybe you don't have to prep. Maybe you run like combat things for fun or something like that. Like, there's lots of ways for you all to do it where you're not writing, you know, like epic stories.
Also, you asked to wrap it up, and she said no 2 years ago, so she might be more open to it now. you've done 2 years.
I also think like it wouldn't be even rude or anything. It would be totally normal to be like, hey, I'm like feeling pretty depleted. I love playing with you one-on-one. What do you think about taking over the DMing?
Yeah.
We can start a new thing. Like, that wouldn't be like wrong. That would be like totally normal.
I also feel like you could just take this into like the more casual realm. Like, it sounds like you're just chatting about a world and a story. And it seems fun to just keep that going without kind of like the formality of it being
a
one-on-one like solo D&D session. Yeah. Just be like, hey, let's just talk about this. Let's go to dinner and we'll talk about this world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Em and I honestly do that where I don't give her any spoilers or anything, but we will be like, oh, what kind of like thing are you thinking for the, what kind of adventure would you like to do or things like that? We talk about that
Let her in.
Yeah.
And it's
helpful.
Let her into the DM realm.
And especially if you're not, I mean, for us, there's certain limitations because I can't give spoilers because this is like a recorded thing. But if it were a home game, I'd be even more fast and loose with stuff. I'd be not going to tell you the big, you know, twists or anything like that. But I think you're within your right.
This is wife's privilege.
You talk to your spouse about stuff. Not like cheating or anything like that, but it's like, would it be cool if there was a town that was kind of inspired by like The Witcher or something like that? Like you could talk about shit like that.
Yeah.
Like,
I know. Cool. Yeah. I specifically for Twilight Sanctuarium was like, what kind of character do you want to play? Cause like I know Murph like DM so much. So I really wanted it to be a character that he was like excited to show up and play. Mm-hmm. So I was like talking to him, like, what kind of character would you want to play? And then I kind of built the world around what he wanted to play.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
And same thing with the Feywild of campaign 3 is, M came to me with like,
oh, a bunch of pitches.
With pitches of things that like these are things that Callie remembers from like her childhood. What's cool, what's not.
Yeah, yeah. Because I was like, I want to know stuff from my childhood, but like, I don't want to, I don't, it felt like too high of stakes. And also since we'd been to the Feywild before, I didn't want to be like, I didn't want to totally moonshine and throw curveballs in there. Yeah.
Although that is also funny.
I also feel like there's a lot of prepless world building games that you two could play together. I'm thinking of like Quiet Year. There's like one specifically about like planetary world building. I can't remember the name of it right now, but like there's a lot of these games out there that like don't involve as much prep or more about like just collaboration and storytelling together. So like if you're looking to shift things up, I think you could do that.
I think ultimately probably what's, if it's anything like me, what burns me out is having to prep a lot, having to do a bunch of sessions. That's what's hard. If I wasn't prepping, if it was just a, you know, we're going to do this one off and we're going to use this other system that's maybe a little bit simpler, I don't know that I'd be burned out in the same way. I think that that might be a little easier for you. So maybe say, you know, I need a little time off from all this homework.
I think it'd be interesting to find out if she's like, if you're just like, do you want to try DMing?
Yeah.
She might just be like, there's a bunch of
solutions here.
I think, you've got a writing partner right there. Unleash the power of wife.
Yeah.
This is all really nice, constructive, like feedback and advice, but somebody needs to be punished.
That's true. So right. I do think it's maybe the wife.
Yeah, that no is pretty firm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're gonna have to punish the wife to DM.
Yeah. Perfect. There we go.
We did it.
There
wow.
It's perfect.
We saw
an actual happy ending.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if except anyone you do wants, have to yeah, if anyone have to, wants to wear a squirrel suit and have the character run, you you're also allowed
we
to
we have
do
some
that.
DM ideas.
The wife the wife does have to put a squirrel suit in it. It has to be set in Ravenloft with no birds and
no birds.
Boomer Pooh needs to be Strahd's right hand.
Yeah. Boomer Pooh replaces Strahd. he bought Castle Ravenloft for $5,000 in 1987.
His father bought it and he inherited it.
That's so fucking funny.
Okay. That sounds awesome, actually. So ordered. And with that, we actually have. We've got another doozy of a confession.
Okay. Oh, dooze me.
Two very good ones this week. Five titties flapping in the wind.
What?
Right.
Whoa, okay.
Why five? Why five? Go on.
I don't know, but remember this name as I read the question.
Cool.
Greetings to the illustrious and inimitable.
Inimitable. Is that what they mean?
Yeah. Inimitable. Yeah. Okay.
Wow. You got me. Boy, yeah. I don't know.
Salubrious.
That word. Yeah. Yeah.
Justices. Salubrious. Justices. ATNM.
Yeah, dude. We're healthy.
And the beloved baby bailiff Jakey Cakes. I have just to bear before you. 2 years ago, I joined a friend's long-running campaign as a level 10 wizard. Through some lucky stat rolls and feats, I was able to reach 20 intelligence with ease for that sweet maximum spellcasting stat.
Sick.
In our first battle, I reflexively pulled up a monster stat block to see which of my spells would be most effective in dealing with this creature.
Uh-oh.
Tisk tisk.
We were just talking about this.
We were. The only metagaming.
The only metagaming that we're against.
The only metagaming that we're against.
Later, I realized that this sort of information wouldn't be known to a PC without some sort of spell, check, or boon from the DM. But instead of resolving to do better and or confessing my sins, I decided to sin fully and did this for every encounter and every monster.
I don't know about
this. The left-hand path.
Shame on you.
Both preemptively and actively in game.
Jesus.
I rationalize that since 20 intelligence represents the limit of knowledge for most mortals, and my character was a researcher.
Listen to your words. Even anyway. You know, I rationalized.
Justices, to be clear, I am not asking for forgiveness because I don't regret it.
Yeah. You're just bragging.
You're not getting
there's two types of confessions that we get. Either people that are just like, okay, it was my grandma's first ever time playing D&D, and I crit on her, and instead I said it missed. Do you think that I am still a good person? We're like, yes, of course. And then there's other people that are like, I'm lying to all my friends. I make the game
not fun. I cheat,
and I'm not sorry.
Wait, I want to hear the end of it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Right, so to be clear, I'm not asking for forgiveness because I don't regret it.
Yeah. I'm tracing the call as you're doing this so we can locate this person.
But if you happen to have meta knowledge or of an encounter or a monster as a PC through out-of-game research or past experiences, how do you avoid acting on that knowledge? I await your judgment from the ninth level of hell, all hail Dice Devil, and the birth of the anti-dice.
I like their energy, but didn't have prior knowledge. You had
anti-dice.
Present knowledge.
You are the anti-dice.
I think there's a big difference between looking it up, between being like, oh, I've run this as a DM before, and being like, oops, I looked up the monster we're fighting. How could I possibly avoid having Googled the monster we're actively fighting?
It's so different because, I don't know, as a DM, if I see if I'm a player, right, and I see a blue dragon, I'm like, okay, it's got lightning breath. I would know that, but I don't know how much, I can't off the top of my head think of what a young dragon, how much HP they have, or what exactly their AC is, or what their weakest stat is. I couldn't tell you that, and I've run blue dragons a bunch.
It's also there are skills in the game for this. Like, doesn't Battlemaster have a thing where you can reveal information like
for
that?
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, you can use a point to see through their defenses.
The sad thing about this is that I'll bet had you brought this to your DM, you probably could have had this to a certain extent without cheating. You probably could have brought this to them and been like, I'm a researcher. I have 20 intelligence. Can we add something? Can we homebrew something where I can learn?
But that's not what they wanted, naughty little heel.
If any of you came to me with
the anti-dice.
We did something like this in Eldermorn where Fia had her book of monsters.
Oh, yeah.
That was the bestiary that you could, if you did a good enough history check and stuff, you would be able to look and find some things about it.
Right.
This person is one of the four horsemen of the dice apocalypse. The pale roller, I name you.
The pale roller.
All right. Well, we can't forgive you because you're not sorry.
I can't forgive you, but I also can't fault your energy. If you're gonna be that naughty.
You admit to being the anti-dice.
Call yourself the anti-dice, then let's do this.
Yeah. May your dice chip and shatter.
Yeah. There's nothing we can do for you.
You're beyond saving.
May Dice Christ have mercy on your soul.
And ours for having heard your story. Yeah.
Shit. Okay. Yeah, we condemn you, I guess.
Yeah. Is this our first condemning?
This is kind of fun. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
We rebuke thee.
You have to move to Ravenloft. That's, of course, being taken over by Boomer Poo.
Yeah.
No
well, maybe
birds
you
for you.
Are Boomer Poo.
Really?
This is Boomer Poo.
Boomer
behavior.
Poo has it good, though, is the problem.
Yeah. And Boomer Poo doesn't understand TTRPGs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Those are for Satanists.
Okay. Yeah. Boomer
then
Poo's
fine.
Guy.
You have to be Boomer Poo's roommate.
Yeah.
Poo-mate.
Yeah. All right. So punished. That was weird.
You have
all
to
right.
be.
With that, thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back next week, back with more Campaign 3 and Short Rest. Until then, Caldwell, why don't you take us out?
Oh, everybody get ready to roll those Boomer Poo dice.
Roll it
with the Boomer Poo dice.
Oh, bother.